Look at our amazing kids. Amen. So they are clearly ready for Halloween and to begin the celebrate. And so as they anticipate going out this week, I just invite you to help me give them a blessing. So let's just extend our hands to them. We pray that you bring lots of enjoyment this week with your costumes. We pray that you get lots of candy, that you will eat very slowly. We pray that you will connect with your neighbors and your friends who will welcome you. And may God keep you safe and fill your heart with joy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
Peace be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples, and there was a big crowd with him. Bartimaeus, a blind man, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth going by, he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." Many people there tried to rebuke him. They said, "Be quiet." But he kept calling out even louder, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped. "Call him over." So they called the blind man over. They said, "Take courage and get up. Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Lord, I want to see." Jesus said, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus up the road. The Gospel of the Lord. There's a woman who could see all her life, but she became blind through contact with toxic lens cleaner. And all of a sudden she was thrust into darkness, and she said she had to touch her husband's face just to remember what it looked like. Did the same thing with her children, touch their faces so she could remember what they looked like. She said, "For me, it would be paradise to see again. It would be paradise to see again." I think of that a lot of times. I had two torn retinas in my eyes, and I could have lost my eyesight. I thank God every day for sight. It's paradise to be able to see. So Bartimaeus in the story today is a blind beggar. Maybe he could see for part of his life, and then he became blind. We don't know. But he couldn't see the face of his wife. He couldn't see the face of his children. Didn't know what a flower looked like. Didn't know what a tree looked like. Plus, he became a beggar. Not only did he have that disability, but now he's a beggar. But his ears worked, and he heard that Jesus was coming by. There was a big crowd of people coming. And he heard that Jesus was a miracle worker, that he was a man of compassion. And he probably thought, you know, Jesus is somebody who's going to pay attention to a nobody like me. He was not about to miss this opportunity. It was now or never, and so he takes advantage of this situation, knowing he may never have this chance to see Jesus again. And actually, that was his last passage through that town. He was on his way to his death. Steph Dunn, she sings in our choir, she went down to Florida this past week to see her grandfather who's dying, who was in the hospice. And what a great thing to take advantage of that moment, to come and give your grandfather a little joy and to connect before he goes to heaven. So some moments are unrepeatable, right? You have to do it. You can't do it over again. So you got to take advantage. And that's what Bartimaeus was doing. He's going to take advantage of this moment. Fanny Crosby, the great gospel songwriter, lost her sight as a child. And she was inspired by this story of Bartimaeus, and she wrote that famous song, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." Bartimaeus was not going to let Jesus pass him by. So he cries out. He shouts. He makes a scene. He doesn't care. He uses his voice. "Son of David, have pity on me." Yesterday at RIT, there was a Boys and Men of Color Summit, and the purpose of that summit, a lot of people were there, was for men of color who have achieved success in Rochester to impart their wisdom to young men of color and boys of color. One of the speakers was our deputy police chief, LaRon Singletary, and he said, "It's important for African Americans like me to use our voice to build competency and character in our young men, to use our voice. Some are using their voices to speak out against racism. There's a new initiative called Call to Cops. I don't know if you've heard of that, but they're trying to address the issue of white people calling the cops on black people for doing ordinary things. And so they made a series of videos, and one of them was this. There's a white guy sitting in Starbucks drinking his coffee, and a black woman comes in and says to him, "Are you going to vote?" He goes, "No." She goes, "Why not?" "Because the parties don't represent me." So she whips out her cell phone. He goes, "What are you doing?" "I'm calling 911. Yes, there's an emergency. I'm reporting an emergency. He's sitting right here. Yes, he's white, and he's being irresponsible. He's not going to vote." And then you hear the sirens come and arrest him. We got to do this, right? We've got to stand up to it. Use our voices against racism. Our staff is going to Washington, D.C. this afternoon to see the African American Museum of Culture and History. How many have seen that? Wow, good. I guess it's really powerful. We're looking forward to that because we need to understand our racial history so we can speak out against racism. We also need to speak out against anti-Semitism. That was terrible, wasn't it? What happened in Pittsburgh with the synagogue? In this day and age, it's unbelievable. Racism, anti-Semitism. We have to use our voices and speak out against hatred. Just like Bartimaeus, he speaks out, "Son of David, have pity on me." And he calls him Son of David. That's the title for being a Messiah. So somehow he's blind, but he knows something about Jesus that the other people don't know. This is Halloween, or Halloween is coming. We just saw the kids pretending to be monsters and princesses and superheroes. And sometimes it's really hard to make out who they are beyond their costume. But Bartimaeus goes beyond the physical appearance of Jesus, and he somehow sees that he is the Messiah, and he calls out, "Son of David." Sometimes at Mass we say, "Behold the Lamb of God who comes to us under humble disguises." We all have humble disguises. We're disguising something inner, which is we're temples of the Holy Spirit. We are beautiful temples of the Holy Spirit. Why do we keep calling people derogatory names? Don't we realize that everybody's a temple of God? Our physical appearance is shielding our divine nature. So he's calling out, using his voice. Many people rebuke Bartimaeus and tell him to be quiet. Now, here the guy is blind, he's a beggar, and on top of that, you're telling him to be quiet, like you don't matter. Why would you do that? Why add to the problems of people that have disabilities? We do it all the time. A group home wants to come into a neighborhood. Not in my neighborhood. The city wanted to smash up all the sidewalks to build accessible ramps on the sidewalks, and people said, no, that's too much money. City doesn't have the money to spend on it. When a caravan of people from Central America come through Mexico crying out for safety from violence and poverty in their own countries, many people want to rebuke them and tell them to be quiet and go away. We don't want to deal with their problems in Central America, many of which we caused. So they tell them to be quiet. You're invisible. But here's a great line. They rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he called out even louder. All right. He refuses to be defeated. The harder you oppress people, the deeper their resolve to fight it. You can only keep people in the back of the bus for so long. Amen? Malala, the Pakistani girl that was shot by the Taliban, said, education is our right given to us by our religion, and no one can stop us from getting it. Nobody can stop us from getting it. Think of all the voices that even the church tried to silence over the years. Galileo, Martin Luther, Teresa of Avila, Teilhard de Chardin, Hans Küng, Joan Chittister, Roy Bourgeois, Mary Rammerman. But they called out even louder. St. Catherine of Siena said, cry out as though you had a million voices. It is silence that kills the world. Dr. King said, our lives begin to end when we are silent about things that matter to us. So he's calling out, and here comes the turning point of the story. All the commotion, people coming with Jesus, he's calling out, people telling him to be quiet, and all of a sudden, there's a turn in the story. Two of the most beautiful words in Scripture. Jesus stopped. What's it mean when you stop? You matter. You're important. You count. You're not one in a million. You give your undivided attention. That's what love is. You give your undivided attention. You put everything else on hold. You matter. One time a coworker of mine said, why are you always backing away from me when I'm talking to you? And I had to really look at that. I need to give people my full attention. Jesus stopped. How does he pick out Bartimaeus with all this commotion, all these voices? How does he pick him out? Well, how does God, who runs 250 billion galaxies, hear our voice when we call? But God does, right? The psalm says, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. Not one of us is one in a million. We count with God. Every one of us counts. So he stops and he says, call him over. Now here's something interesting. The same people that were telling him to be quiet, now say, hey, cheer up, he's calling you, come on over. The same people. What changed? Jesus changed it. He stopped. He set the tone, a new tone. He says the beggar is important. The leader makes the difference. Many of us are leaders. Many of us are parents. If the leader makes racist, sexist remarks, it sets the tone for others. Parents set the tone in the family. The teacher sets the tone in the classroom. The boss sets the tone in the office. The president sets the tone for the country. We set the tone. He stopped. Bartimaeus threw off his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Now, that was pretty risky for a blind person to throw off their cloak. It was his only possession. It's what kept him warm at night, but he didn't care. Symbolically, he throws aside his old life, like a person in AA who gives up drinking. I'm going to leave that behind. Just like the disciples left their nets behind when they met Jesus. Like the woman at the well left her jar behind didn't need it anymore. Like a person falling in love, nothing else is important. This man threw aside everything because he found Jesus. Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" What a humble question. Actually, that's the most frequent question that Jesus ever asked in Scripture. That's the most frequent question he ever asked. What do you want me to do for you? I wonder if you could answer that to yourself right now. Say God is saying to you, "What do you want me to do for you?" What would you say? It's such a respectful question. It's a humble question. He doesn't presume anything. You know, maybe, here's Bartimaeus is blind, but maybe there's something bigger than his eyesight that he wants. Maybe Bartimaeus has a child that's sick. Maybe he's got a child that's addicted to heroin. Maybe he's mentally ill. He doesn't know. What do you want me to do for you? You know, we learned to ask that question with our brothers and sisters in Haiti and Chiapas, Mexico. Instead of presuming what they need and say, "Here's some money, here's some clothes, we're sending this stuff to you," we don't do that anymore. We say, "What do you need? And how can we do this together? What can we work on together?" Bartimaeus says, "I want to see." Seeing is classical language for experiencing God, trusting God, more than the physical eyesight. He's saying, "I want a relationship with you." You know, we often sing the gospel song, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see you." It goes beyond the physical sight. I want to see you, I want to trust you, I want to love you. Actually, Bartimaeus could see even before his eyes could function, because he believed in Jesus and trusted him and called him the Son of David, the Messiah. In some miracle stories, people believe in Jesus after they're cured, but Bartimaeus believed in Jesus before he was cured. Jesus doesn't have to touch his eyes, doesn't lay hands on him. He just says, "Your faith has saved you." So lastly, we're told that Bartimaeus followed him up the road. Discipleship. He doesn't just go off once his needs are met and forget about the whole thing. He followed Jesus. You know, did this ever happen to you? I know it's happened to me. You pray night and day for something you're so preoccupied about. You need this, God. You got to help me, God. You get it. Your needs are met, and you forget about God. Not Bartimaeus. Jesus is not an errand boy for Bartimaeus, not somebody to fix his car, not somebody to fix his headache. He's somebody to follow. If Jesus is going up that road, that's where I'm going too. He wants to be with him. He wants to follow him and emulate him. So there's a story about us. We're all Bartimaeus. We all have blind spots, every one of us. And we're recipients of unearned grace. Every one of us is a recipient of unearned grace. And like Bartimaeus, we're invited to walk up that road that leads to life.